सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीरं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देवा सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुस्साक्षात् परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। नीलाम्बुजश्यामलकोमलाङ्गं सीतासमारोपितवामभागं पाणौ महासायकचारुचापं नमामि रामं रघुवंशनाथं। मनोजवं मारुततुल्यवेगं जितेन्द्रियं बुद्धिमतां वरिष्ठं वातात्मजं वानरयूथमुख्यं श्रीरामदूतं शरणं प्रपद्ये। श्रीरामदूतं शिरसा नमामि श्रीरामदूतं मनसा स्मरामि श्रीरामदूतं वचसा वदामि। हरि ओम्। It seems Hanumanji and me are a theme here. last time also was Hanumanji. No, again Hanumanji. Problems and sorrows and challenges in life, it's a universal experience. Nobody is having a unique experience of difficulty. Nobody is having a unique experience of sorrow. Specific details may vary from person to person, situation to situation, but the experience of that challenge, of that sankat, if you will, is the same, universal. Who here has not experienced sorrow? Who here has not experienced loss in some way? Who has not experienced some form of defeat? Who here has not experienced failure? Who here has not experienced disappointments? Everyone. So in this way, we should take some comfort, actually. I am not alone in this. I am not the only one who has experienced it. Others also experience. So it is a source of comfort, actually. It is a universal experience. And similarly, the experience of sankat in our life is necessary because we are all in the same quest to discover our own inner strengths. And ultimately, each and every one of us wants to overcome that difficulty. Every jiva, every individual, regardless of religion, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of any other identification, is seeking the very same goal, and that goal is called as sukham. Is it true or is it not? Everything that I do, it is because I want to be happy. Nobody does anything because they want to be sad. From my perspective, it may seem as though they might be doing something to be sad, but from their perspective, which is the only one that counts for them, actually, for each of us, that action is because I want to feel happy. And perhaps the action, though to someone else might seem as though antithetical to happiness, for me, I think it will make me happy. We are all seeking the same goal. Universal truths, the universality of our experiences in life. We are all experiencing challenges, sangat, and we are all seeking the same goal. And so our shastras, our scriptures, do not leave us wanting. They tell us this is what you should do, yes. But more important than that, the shastras give us the example of what I should do in practice. And who greater than the great bhakta, Bhagwan Sri Rama, this great duta, Hanumanji? A bhakta is one who has total, unshakable faith in Bhagavan. For that bhakta, there is no one else other than Bhagavan. And no matter what comes in my life, what problems I meet in my life, that problem is not bigger than Bhagavan. That problem actually presents me with an opportunity to come closer to that Lord. Oh, but it sounds very good. Hanumanji. After all, he is Shiva avatar, you know? He is Pavana Putra. I am not that. Oh, okay. Let me give you an example. It was the year 1893. A young sannyasi, I don't know if you've heard of him, by the name of Vivekananda, boarded a ship on his way to the West. He had heard about this religion of Parliaments and thought, I want to go there. I want to spread the knowledge of Vedanta, the knowledge of the Shastras, of the Vedas, to anyone who desires to listen. He comes, he arrives in Canada. From Canada, he journeys to Chicago, only to find out he is there several months early. And so somebody tells him, okay, if you go to New England, it's a little bit less expensive there. So whatever little money he has, he purchases a train ticket and boards the train on his way to Boston. On that train, he meets an American woman who herself was a very cultured person. And they strike up a conversation, and she is very much impressed by and deeply moved by this monk, this strange monk, dark skin, wearing orange clothes. And she says, "You will come stay with me," because he has nowhere else to stay, actually. He came with very little money, no food, no friends, there was no booking.com, you know where to stay. So she said, "Come stay in my house." In her home, she had invited various friends of hers, including a professor at Harvard, who was also going to speak at that conference, and who was also moved by this Vivekananda, this monk, and said, "You come with me." Because he also, Swamiji, did not have an invitation even to go to Chicago. So even if he had gone, he was not guaranteed entry. But by the dint of faith, F-A-T-E, and by the power of his own faith, F-A-I-T-H, somehow or the other, he found his way there. Famously, brothers and sisters of America, words enshrined in the heart for many of us. If you go to Chicago also, there's a wonderful museum there, completely dedicated to Swamiji. This is faith. This is a bhakta. Challenge one. Number one, leaving the known to go to the unknown. Challenge two, I have no money. Challenge three, I have no friends. Challenge four, I get there and also I'm too early. I don't even have an invitation entry into the place. But the solution comes at every step of the way. Now, this is not some story in Ramayana. This is not some person we don't know. We are only hearing stories growing up, flying and doing wonderful things, getting very big. This is a person who lived not very long ago. Very real to us. This is faith in action. This is why when Kunti Ma prays to Bhagavan Shri Krishna, give me sorrow. Why? Because it is through such sorrow I get your darshan. And from your darshan, my samsara will come to an end. Does it make sense? So it is not that the bhakta also does not face difficulty. Bhagwan, I am a bhakta. Every day I pray to you. Every day I offer you all your favorites, you know? You like Modak's hair. Ganesh Utsav is coming up. All Modak's out there. You like payasam? Yeah. You like here? Yeah. Whatever you want, I'll give. Every day I'm giving. Every day I'm picking tulsi leaf and this flower and that. Every day I'm doing. But Bhagwan, you're still giving me all this difficulty. Meanwhile, the criminals are out there living large. No problems. Isn't it so? It is said that the greatest thief of joy is comparison. We should never compare. Firstly, we do not know each other's prarabdha. I do not know what is the prarabdha of the next person. Therefore, I cannot judge what is for them. My duty is what is in front of me, here and now. Secondly, if I choose to think that the bhakta gets more tests than the bhogi, fair enough, I can think that. Because tests and challenges are the things that build us. Isn't it so? You are all professionals. You did not become a professional because somebody just gave you an easy A throughout your life. And thank goodness for that too. You had to write the exam, you had to study. And if you do not get the test, if you do not make the mark, then you had to do it again until you did. Isn't it? The test is what builds us. It tests not only what I have already learned, but it gives me an opportunity also to build upon that knowledge, to add to that knowledge. And so the bhakta is given problems as well. Sankat comes both to the bhakta and the bhogi alike. The difference is in how the bhakta meets the sankat and how the bhogi meets that sankat. The difference is the bhakta is resilient when that difficulty arises, whereas the bhogi, either they ignore it completely and it keeps coming back, or it completely crushes them. When my faith is not strong, then slightest test shatters it without hesitation. So, through the example of Anjaneya, we get a wonderful opportunity to develop and grow in our own resilience as we encounter our adversities in life. Now, we should be very clear also. Sankat Mochan, the one who frees us from Sankat. This is not. Many people come to spirituality because I am seeking some miracle. I go to the temple, I go to the mosque, I go to the church for a miracle. I speak to the pastor, the priest, the Purohit for a miracle. Touch my head. Sprinkle some magic water on me. I want prasad. That will solve my problems. No, spirituality by no means is about miracles. Or rather, it is not about searching for a miracle from the outside. The seeker, whether it is a bhakta, a sadhaka, does not wait for a miracle to happen to them. Rather, I become the architect of my own miracle in my own life. I have to make it happen. Nobody else can do it for me. So Hanumanji is Sankat Mochan. Hanumanji is freeing, is a liberator of Sankat. Not that he's going to come here and take away all of my problems. But through his examples, I can be inspired in how to apply that knowledge in my life. Wisdom is knowledge in action, not inaction in knowledge. Knowledge in action. Put it to work. Get the principle and apply the principle. And don't wait for miracles to happen. Don't wait for some savior to come with his mukdar, his gada, and you know, his chakra. Don't wait for that. Manifest that in your own hearts. This is Sankata Mochan. So let us see now the first shloka. Ashtakam. Eight are there. Four nights. Hopefully, we can cover. Run rate is two per night. Balas, together, together, yeah. Balasamairavi bhakshiliyodavam dinahulokabhayo andiyaro tahisotrasabhayojagako yahasankartakahusojatanataro devanani को नहीं जानत है जग में कभी संकट मोचन नाम तिहारो संकट मोचन नाम तिहारो सो दिस लाइन गोज को नहीं जानत है जग में इन दिस वर्ल्ड हु डज नॉट नो यू यू हु आर कॉल्ड अ संकट मोचन द रिमूवर ऑफ ऑल difficulties, all of my sanghats. This story goes, Bala Samay, in his childhood, Ravi Bhakshiliyo, he went up and he ate the, tried to eat the sun. Why? Some people say he thought it was a laddu, some people say it was a friend, a fruit. Whatever it is, he thought it looked delicious. And so he went there and ate it. This story we all know, correct? We've been hearing it since childhood. So we are not here to tell stories. What are we here for? Dinahulok bhayo andiyaro. The entire world fell into darkness. Literally and of course philosophically as well, metaphorically. What happened? Tahi sotras bhayo jagako. Everyone in that darkness now, they were panicked, started to panic, got anxious. Oh, who is going to save us? Pahi mam, save me, save me. Who is going to save me? Then, Devanani Kari Binati. And so they go to the Devatas. And the Devatas go to Hanumanji and they plead with him. Please, imagine the Devatas coming to this little Bala Hanuman. Let go of the sun. And then, Tab Chari Diyo Ravi Kashta Nivaru. Opens his mouth. The sun's return, and then that kashta, that darkness is nivar, removed. So let us see. Each of these verses tells a story of Hanumanji, and it gives also a particular sankat. And this sankat, again, don't get wrapped up in the particulars. See the principle. This first sankat that we encounter, which is actually the fundamental problem in life, is called as avidya, ajnanam. The darkness is the darkness of ajnanam. And what happens when we are experiencing darkness? Trasa, bhaya, fear. We panic, we don't know what to do, and then what? We want somebody else to help me, somebody else to save me, somebody else to resolve this problem for me. But nobody is coming to solve my problems for me. Nobody is coming to save me from my own problem of avidya. I have to save myself. Now, what is this avidya? At a fundamental level, avidya is ajnanam. Moola avidya is anadi. This root ignorance is beginningless. It is that ignorance that I have forgotten myself as that Brahman. Instead, I identify as this body, mind, intellect, and everything else that comes together with that. This is called as avidya. Now what happens? Oh, what is the big deal, you know? I identify with body, mind, intellect. What is the big deal? Well, I'll tell you what the big deal is. The big deal is, if I identify with it, then I also have to accept all that comes with it. But we don't want to. Everybody accepts it nicely when everything is going very nicely. When everything is going according to plan. When things are going my way. When pleasant, desirable things are happening in my life, I can easily accept it. But then when things don't go my way, when things don't go according to plan, then am I so quick to accept then? Am I so eager and happy to embrace that then? And the answer is really no. How do I know? See, we might all deal with it differently, but it is a fact because we are all trying to get away from it. It might be trying to resolve it, but we don't want it ultimately. And because I don't want it, because I'm trying to resolve the problem, to get away from the problem, to stop it from happening, it means I have not accepted that problem as part and parcel of body, mind, intellect, of jivahood. If I'm so happy to be a jiva, being a jiva is no big deal, then I should also accept the good with the bad, the pleasant with the unpleasant, the desirable with the undesirable. And if I cannot accept it, then it is very clear that this jivahood is not as good as we have been leading ourselves to believe. And so ajnanam is this thought, this feeling that I am this body, mind, intellect, and the attachments that come as a result of that. But together with that is the lack of desire to accept also the things that I do not like, to accept the things that I do not want, to accept those things that I consider to be a source of dukkham. Because everybody wants sukham, yes or no? Everybody wants sukham. Nobody wants dukkham. And if a thing is giving me dukkham, then what do? Get rid of it. I want to get rid of it. But if I am truly one who says, oh, okay, I'm happy to be a human being, I'm happy to have this body, I'm happy with all of that, and dukkham comes, let it come. I'm happy with the dukkham also. But this is not the case. So this avidya starts from that point. Long ago, not so long ago actually, nowadays in construction, they have that laser level, right? You just put the laser on and automatically it levels. You don't have to do much work. But not too long ago, they used to have chalk lines. string with chalk. And you had to roll it out manually to get a level for construction. Ask me how I know. I grew up in a village. So you pull the string. If that string from the beginning is off by a fraction of a millimeter, the whole thing is off, fact or not. You cannot start with it off and then somehow along the way it will self-correct. It will keep going. And the thing is that the movement off is so subtle. You will reach all the way to the end before you even realize, oh, is it so or is it not? This is avidya. It starts there. A very subtle thing, imperceptible. And from that, slowly, slowly, we keep adding and going off. More and more avidya is added until eventually every one of us has to come to a point where we recognize, oh, I have really strayed. I am off level. If we are fortunate, we recognize earlier on and we can correct. The luckiest are those who recognize at the time itself. On the moment itself, it goes off, corrected right away. And then what happens? They because of that, now the mind is so much more alert, so much more aware that it's not blindly just carrying on, but rather in each and every movement, there is awareness there, alertness there. This is a jnani. Then a little bit less than that, a little bit lower down, I'm able to recognize, oh, something is not right. And I start taking corrective measures then. But a little more worse than that is, I wait till the end. Many people on their deathbed, they go to Kashi. Big business is there in Benares. What is the business? Hostels for people who are, you know, very close to the end. That is the business. You book your room, you pay some money, and they will, you know, supply some nurse or somebody, end of life care kind of thing. Because why? In Ramayana, Bhagwan Shiva said, if you die in Kashi, I will whisper Rama's name and give you mukti. This is desperation. And agnyanam at its height. It will not happen. If I have not corrected before, on the time of death, don't think it's going to fix just like that. It won't. So, agnyanam, this is the problem. So if agnyanam is the problem, what is the solution? Jnanam, very simple. There is nothing else. If I have ignorance, then the only thing to resolve that is knowledge. What knowledge? Right knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the real. Because we are not speaking here about maths and physics and science. We are speaking about spirituality. It's a spiritual text. We are in an ashram. So knowledge of the self, knowledge of my true self. As long as I'm blinded to that, then my life will keep going along this path. Of course. They're off, O-F-F, course. Veering. And I'm also none the wiser to it. Just going on with the whole thing. When I gain knowledge, when I gain wisdom, and I gain clarity, then I can self-correct. Then I am not seeking a miracle from the outside. Rather, I have become the one to deliver the miracle for my own self. And so what does Hanumanji, how does Hanumanji play into all of this? In the verse says, Devana Ani, the Devatas come. Devana Ani, Karibinadi. The Devatas come to Hanumanji. Oh, so then I should go to the Devatas then and pray to the Devatas. When we hear this word Devata, see, when we tell children these stories, in a child, the stories are very fantastical. And it's meant, you know, we want to, when you create that sense of, excuse me, of awe in a child, they get excited and they want to learn more. But for adults, when we hear this word Devata, we should not get stuck in simple karmas. Do it. Nothing is wrong with it, but don't get stuck there. Gurudev speaks about devatas as the productive potential in the universe, inherent in and within all things. The productive potential. This is devata. Now, what does that mean for us? And you are saying, you know, like in Bhagavatam, Sri Krishna tells the residents of Dwarka, Dwarka? No. Vrindavan. Yeah, he tells them, why are you doing all these pujas and things to Indra and Agni and all of them? Why are you wasting your time like that? Don't waste your time behind this. Why? Because that this is a very transactional thing. Instead, what did Bhagwan do tell them? What did Sri Krishna tell the people of Nandavraj? Oh, Balvihar teacher is here. Don't spend your time in this transactional kind of worship. Worship me. Sharanam, Mam Sharanam. You come to me, you worship me. Krishna, Krishna, not me, Krishna. You surrender to me and yoga kshemam vahamyaham. The specific words, of course, he tells in Gita, but the same intention is given in the Bhagavatam. The devatas are meant to take us closer to Bhagavan when we invoke what is called as Daivi Sampati. Sounds familiar? In chapter 16 of Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna gives us 26 virtues. 26 virtues that we are meant to imbibe. When we imbibe these virtues, Abhayam, it begins with Abhayam. What was the problem of Tino Lok? Bhayam. This was their challenge, no? Bhayam, fear. And what is the solution to Bhayam? Abhayam. How would this Abhayam come about? Through knowledge only. So, these 26 qualities, Bhagwan calls us Daivi Sampati, divine qualities. This is not a search on the outside. It's not a transaction with somebody on the outside. This is a journey within. In my own self, I have to cultivate these qualities. I have to not just speak about it, not just quote it, but cultivate it. Abhayam, sattva samshuddhihi, purity of mind. How does purity of mind come about? You take bleach and wash out your mind? You can't. There is no vacuum to clean our minds. Cultivating a pure mind means I have to be very active and alert and vigilant. When the lower tendencies are pulling me in a direction, when my karma is pulling me in a direction, my mind must be aware and bring it back. That is purity of mind. When I do some karma, that karma should be done in a selfless manner. Nishkama. Not for myself am I doing, but for the either as a worship to Bhagavan or as a service to society. Either way, I am not benefiting from it. It does not benefit me. Nor am I seeking any personal benefit. It is for the service of others. Sattva samshuddhihi, purity. And he says, jnanam, knowledge. Here, this jnanam comes through satsang. There is no other way. It has to happen. Without satsang, knowledge does not come. And without knowledge, the most important sadhana of all, viveka, does not arise. Viveka is only possible where knowledge is there. Avivekis do not think about these things. Avivekis carry on with life and enjoying it. And they bargain with all of the difficulties that come. They make a bargain. Why? Because I know, okay, I'll experience this now, but then tomorrow I'll get to enjoy again. Avivekis are living like that. And then ultimately, when the pain and suffering becomes too much, then only they turn their mind to spirituality. But it is not going to save them at that point. It will not save us then. Then what has to happen? The body has to drop, and I have to wait for another birth and come back again. Go through this whole samsara again and again. Until finally I wake myself up out of this slumber, this stupor of ajnanam, of avidya. Jnanam is the key. Danam, giving charity. Damaha, control of my senses. Swadhyaya, daily I should study something. These are all daivi sampatti, divine qualities. These are all the qualities that we have to invoke in ourselves. Bhagwan also tells, you know, don't go trying to do all 26. Don't play hero. Think you're going to, you know, I'm going to be the best at all of it. That also, no. Pick one, pick two, pick three, pick a manageable amount and build upon that. Perfect that. Grow through that. And ultimately, when one is perfected, all of the others will naturally fall in line. The qualities themselves are complementary. Where one is there, all of the others will be there. Where virtues are there, then we don't need to teach manners to our children. Isn't it so? Otherwise, we teach the manners, but we forget the virtue. Just today, we were talking about that. You teach manners and you forget the virtue. Then the manners themselves are just hollow things, superficial. You say thank you, but you don't really mean it. Your mind has just been conditioned to say it. Say please, but we don't really mean it. Why? Been conditioned just to say it. When the virtue is there, then the actions will necessarily follow suit. This much is a fact. So, Bhagwan in Shri Krishna in Gita is giving us an excellent means of self-assessment, to continuously examine ourselves, not to examine others, not to hold others in judgment, but to hold myself in judgment. And where I notice I have fallen short, in this way, I should cultivate these qualities in my very own self. Don't look for miracles to happen to you. Be that miracle. Don't crave it from the outside world. It will not come. Make it happen in my own life. Otherwise, easily we will fall to darkness in this world. So what is this first sankat? This first sankat is called as avidya. What is it? What is it? If you say it loud, I can't hear. I don't have hearing aids. Huh? Ignorance. Or? Avidya. And therefore, what is the solution? Develop. Gain knowledge. Ultimately, gain knowledge. Through viveka, that knowledge is purified and strengthened. And through cultivating the divine qualities, daivi sampati, it puts me on the track towards that knowledge. Does it make sense? No. Yes or no?
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to say yes, okay? It doesn't make sense. Nobody's being. This is freedom. Speaking of freedom and free will, let us see the next verse together. Pali kitrasa kapisa vasai giri chata maha prabhu panta niharo chauki maha muni sapadiyo tab chahi kauna vichara vicharo. Kai dvija rupa livaya mahaprabhu sotum dasa ki sukha nivaro
नहीं जानत है जग में कभी संकट मोचन नाम तिहारो, संकट मोचन नाम तिहारो।
Bali kitras kapi sabasai giri out of fear. This Bali, what happens? He cannot go to this Rishyamukh Parvat out of fear. Bali, Sugriva has his kingdom stolen from him by his brother, Vali. Story we know. And Vali has been cursed by Rishi Matanga Rishi, that because of another previous incident, he cannot go to this Rishyamukha Parvat. And so Sugriva seeking now, because he can't fight against Vali, he's not strong enough to go up against him. And so he seeks refuge there in that mountain. And so Jata Mahaprabhu Panta Niharo, and there Sugriva is there, every day anxiously looking. What if one day the shrap is lifted and Vali comes looking for me? So every day, this is how fear operates in our life. It has us on edge. It has us nervous. It has us anxious all the time. Always looking, always nervous that something is coming my way. And so this is what is happening to Sugriva. And so one day he sees on the path this strange looking duo, Ram and Lakshmana. He doesn't know who they are. He sees them walking his way. And then when he sees them, he thinks to himself, oh, I don't want to leave this mountain. If I leave, Bali will kill me for sure. So what does he do? He sends Hanumanji. And Hanumanji, he tells, you also, did, they could be spies of Bali. So you should disguise yourself as well. So, Kai Dvija Rupa Livaya. Hanumanji takes that form. He takes that form of that Brahmana. And in that form of the Brahmana, he approaches this duo. And then what does he realize? Mahaprabhu so tum das ke soka nivaro. Hanumanji approaches and realizes that actually this is Jata Mahaprabhu, this is Bhagwan Sri Rama and Lakshmana, and declares himself as their, as his bhakta, as his duta, his dasa specifically. Now, in this verse, Sugriva is experiencing fear. Through that fear, he is experiencing anxiousness, nervousness, uncertainty, because the situation that has presented itself to him is one that is, he feels that his life is being threatened. So, the question is, in life, how much choice do I have for the situations that meet me? Where is my free will and where is my fate? FATE. And this question of free will and fate is one that people debate to no end. But our Sanatana Dharma has a very unique response, very sophisticated resolution to that, which is what both are true. We have both free will and also fate, destiny. What is the difference? The situations that meet me in life is my destiny. This is my fate. What I do in that situation, how I choose to meet it, that much is in my hands. This is called as free will. How is this connected here? Sugriva, up until this point, has been wallowing in self-pity, hiding and feeling sorry for himself. He cannot stand up for himself. When he sees strangers coming, he cannot himself go. Instead, he chooses to send somebody else to do his dirty work for him. Hiding in the mountain, in that mountain, cowering in his own fear, He is hiding. Why? Because woe is me. My brother took my kingdom. My brother stole my wife. Oh, why do bad things always happen to good people? Woe is me. This is his state of mind. I am sure we have all encountered people with the same exact mentality. Everything that happens is, oh, why me? This is out of pure ignorance of my own karma, my own prarabdha. The first thing is a bhakta. For them, prarabdha is not some reason to sit inside, sit and sulk. For the bhogi, the prarabdha is a problem. For the bhogi, if I win, somebody comes and says, "Oh, you know, you won this, you won the lottery." Oh, great, very good. No questions asked. Happily, yes, thank you. Finally, somebody recognizes. But for that same bogey, when the taxman collects and they get a mail and you know from what? Then they start calling, then all of a sudden accountant and all of these people start coming. Then they start to question everything. Isn't it so? Why me? I did everything right. I filed properly. I was always on time. All of this. When the problem comes, we don't accept it with the same calm state of mind, same happy state of mind. When prarabdha comes to us, that prarabdha is coming firstly because I myself have put it there. Number one. If I understand this, then that prarabdha, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, is not a problem to me. Because I know I am the one who has made it possible. How so? I did the action. If I have done the action, the results that is generated from that action belongs to whom? It belongs to me only. It doesn't belong to my parents. It doesn't belong to the children. The parents cannot give the children their prarabdha. You can give your children your debt, you can give your children your wealth, but your karmas you will take with you. That you cannot give. That prarabdha belongs to us. I and I alone have made it. I am the architect of it. And so Sugriva, when his prarabdha met him, he was not knowledgeable, nor was he willing to accept it as his due. He saw it as, I do not deserve this. Life is unfair. I should get better. I deserve better. When prarabdha meets us in our life, this is how we think. Oh, the world is so unfair to me. The world is not unfair to any of us. We all get exactly as we ourselves have determined. Nobody else is in charge of that. Oh, but how do I know? What if Bhagwan makes a mistake? What if he switched the wires somewhere? Well, the beautiful thing about Bhagwan is he invented automated processes long before you and I ever could have thought of it. It is so perfect, so exact, so precise that there is no chance of it being mixed up. It will never happen that what was meant for Tom will happen to Harry. It will never happen that what is meant for me will happen to somebody else. That will never happen. How do you know? Because the law is exact. Jo jasakarei, so tasu phalu chaka. Whatever I do, that alone belongs to me. When I do an action, a result is generated. That result is of a cosmic nature. There are actions that might have immediate results, this is true, but there is also a subtle cosmic pala that comes together with that action. And this is tied to our antakarana, because the action isn't measured. It is not measured by the hands or the feet or the speech. It is measured by the thought. It starts here. It is devised here. It is inspired, motivated, and thought out through here only. The action itself, the physical act, is only one thing. But the whole process started long before in my mind. And it is there the intention rests. It is there the motivation rests. And therefore, the result itself belongs right here in our antakarana. So when this jiva leaves this body, that antakarana is going from the next body and taking with it its baggage. It is not going to take somebody else's baggage. It cannot. It can only take its own. This is our sanchita. The storehouse of all of our karmic actions and results is, it is tied part and parcel to the antakarana. It cannot be split from it. And therefore, there is no chance of it going anywhere else. It belongs to me only. If it has happened to me, it is meant to happen to me, and for good reason. Therefore, I should not think, why me? I should not feel as though life is unfair to me. I alone suffer, because I alone am not suffering. The other thing about this is, the bhakta has a very firm belief that Bhagwan and Bhagwan's plan is unimpeachable. It is perfect. If it is happening, it is because Bhagwan himself has ordained it to happen. And if Bhagwan has ordained it to happen, then nothing can be wrong with it. It is exactly as it needs to be. See Sugriva's plight. We said, no? Bali has beat him up, kicked him out, stolen his wife, stolen his kingdom, stolen everything. Now his only refuge is that Rishyamukh Parvat. But is this not also a blessing? If that Matanga Rishi, Matanga Muni, did not give the shrap to Vali, that he cannot step foot on that mountain, then where would Sugriva go? Where could he go? When Sugriva had Angad, Angad was a little baby. Bali was even stronger than Ravana. He had kidnapped, brought Ravana and had him there like a toy for Angad to play with. This is how strong Bali is. Where can Sugriva have hidden? Where in this world, in any of the worlds, could Sugriva have gone where Bali could not find him? Please tell. So see how interconnected, see how subtle and intricate everything is. On the one hand, the kingdom is taken away. But on the other hand, you were not left without some refuge. By a stroke of destiny, Bali, the one place that Bali could not go, you were able to get refuge there. Is this not a blessing? Being there, then one day, two young princes are walking in the forest. One is searching for his wife, and what would you know? You have the one person, Hanumanji, right there, who can help find that Sita Devi. And it is that Hanumanji he sends to meet Bhagwan Sri Rama, and who gets the help of the Lord. It is that Rama who then is able to kill Vali. No. The problem started there, kingdom and all of that, between two brothers. Now see what has happened. Now Sugriva has gotten the help of Sri Rama himself, Ramchandraji. So now is karma really that bad? Is prarabdha really so bad? when something happens on one hand that seems as though it's such a bad thing, but see how many other blessings have come as a result of that one bad thing. Now, if I'm blind to that, then I miss it. Then I focus only on the bad and we ignore all of the good that has come as a result of that. If I focus only on the one, and some people are like that also. Oh my gosh. One thing, one little thing, that is blown out of proportion. Everything else could be perfect in the world, but one little thing is wrong. Oh, that is all they focus on. This kind of attitude, I tell you, it is not to judge others. It is a lesson for me. If I have seen it in somebody else, I'll tell you something. We all know it. The very qualities that I see in others, the very qualities that I dislike in others, it is actually a quality I dislike in my own self. I just lack the courage to see it and recognize it in myself. And so I point it out in the other person because that is easier. So in the same way, when that prarabdha comes to me, rather than focus on the one thing that goes wrong, I should see all of the other blessings that have come as a result. And had this thing not happened, had Vali not kicked Sugriva out of the kingdom, would he have had this opportunity to seek the help of Sri Rama? There is no way of knowing, actually, but it would not have happened. Everything happens in such a way. Our prarabdha happens in such a way, it lines up in such a way that it is meant to uplift us. For a sadhaka, everything happens in my life, everything happens in my life to push me forward in my spirituality. Nothing is happening to keep me back. If Bhagwan takes something here, it is because it is for my own good. But on the other hand, Bhagwan will give also. This much is true. So the thing about karma that we should be very careful about with prarabdha. The first thing is our prarabdha provides it is a framework of all of our past actions. Whatever circumstances meet us in life, from our birth, our family, our friends, everything else, all of that has been preordained in our prarabdha. It is my own choices. It is a framework of my own past actions. If I have a problem with it, I have nobody else to blame but myself. And if I have a problem with it, then the only person who can fix it is myself. Secondly, with regards to prarabdha and free will, I have agency. I am not without agency. I have, though my past actions may be determining the circumstances that meet me, I have the power of present action. That agency is mine. I can choose to make it or I can choose to break it. That is all within me. And thirdly, we should never ever discount divine will. We should never discount Bhagwan's will. Bhagwan has a will. Bhagwan has, see, every single one of us is a part of that Ishwara. Ishwara Amsha Jiva Avinashi. Tulsidashi writes in Ramayana, Ramcharitmanas. We are all an amsha of that Ishwara. Bhagwan Shri Krishna tells the same in Gita also. Maya tatamidam brotam. All of this has come from me only. It is sustained in me, and to me everything shall return. So, if I have come from Bhagwan, then why would Bhagwan want me to fail? Why would Bhagwan want me to suffer? He does not. He is giving it to me as an opportunity for me to uddharet atmanatmanam, lift myself. It is no coincidence that Hanumanji is sitting there on the flag upon Arjuna's chariot. That is not coincidence. He is there because Bhagwan Shri Krishna is giving the principle, but Hanumanji has shown that principle in action. Hanumanji doesn't walk around telling, you know, Uddharedatmanatmanam, Karmanyevadika. He doesn't tell anything like that. He never even says, oh, I am Bhagwan's greatest bhakta. I love Bhagwan the most. I know all stotras, all suktams, all, I know all of it. Nobody knows more than he. Never does that. Because as we all know, actions speak louder than words. Through his actions, he demonstrates the same principles that are taught in Gita, in Ramayana. He demonstrates it moment by moment. Perfection in action. Yoga karma su kaushalam. So, sankat number two. Am I bound by my destiny? Am I bound by prarabdha? Or do I have free will? Hanumanji demonstrates that whatever meets us in life, we have a choice to act in that moment. So we will see more on these verses, this Ashtak Ashtakam, tomorrow. Veeramaruti Gambheeramaruti. Veera Maruti Gambheera Maruti. Veera Maruti Ati Dheera Maruti. Veera Maruti Ati Dheera Maruti. Gita Maruti Sangita Maruti. Gita Maruti Sangita Maruti. Duta Maruti Rama Duta Maruti. Duta Maruti Rama Duta Maruti. Bhakta Maruti Parama Bhakta Maruti. Bhakta Maruti Parama Bhakta Maruti. Veera Maruti Gambheera Maruti. Veera Maruti Gambheera Maruti. Gambheera Maruti Gambheera Maruti. Bole Shri Pavana Putra Hanuman ki. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamurakshate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Bole Shri Sadgurunath Maharaj ki Jai.